Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, you are so good to us. Father, we can't say how good you are because our minds can't fathom how incredible you really are. Father, we come to you as imperfect beings, thanking you for getting us through yet another week. We ask you, Father, to continue to be with us, God. Just continue to train us, continue to help us as a church to just bring you glory, God. We thank you for every person that's here, Father, for those that are home and sick, for those that are traveling. I know the campus is in Tennessee, most of them this weekend. I pray that they're having a phenomenal time, and I pray, God, that you will be with me this morning as I bring your word. We love you. We thank you for all that you do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please look over in 1 Thessalonians 5. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Good, good, good. I'm trying this PowerPoint thing. I usually don't like it because I got to think of more than one thing, you know, but I'm going to give it a try today. Try to up my game a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So, I shouldn't talk like that, right? Okay. Trying to up my game. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. When are we supposed to rejoice? Always. Very good. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Does this passage challenge anybody but me? Have you ever been in a place where you read this and been like, really? Always? Joy? Always? God, do you see what I'm going through right now? Always? Always is a strong word. You know, they teach that in marriage counseling kind of 101. Those are the words you don't bring. You know what I'm saying? Don't say always, because I'm not that good to always be anything. I'm not always mean. I'm not always nice. I'm not always anything. But God says to be what? Joyful always. That's not how I feel sometimes. You ever feel like this? This guy's a millionaire, or his owners are, and it's actually a female cat. But stress less? No! I'm feeling stuff. I'm not angry. I'm happiness challenged. Have you ever been there? Don't lie and say you haven't. I have not met one person yet that can't claim this is them on occasion. How am I doing? How does it look like I'm doing? Last week, I was going through some stuff in my own mind, and I was walking through, and a brother looked at me in the fellowship and said, smile. And I looked at him and said, I don't want to smile. I don't feel like smiling. I didn't feel like putting a church face on. I didn't feel like changing my attitude. Have you ever been there? Don't lie and say you haven't, because I've seen you in the fellowship. Yes, I'm talking to you. We've all been there, right? Yeah. And you know what? After the first or second song, I was right as rain. I remembered what God does in my life, and it helped me to remember my purpose and that I need to be joyful always. You know, these may be funny images, and we can laugh about it, but the effects of unmanaged stress is no laughing matter. Not only do we harm ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, but we harm those around us. We harm our families. We harm the unchurched or the lost. We harm everybody around us, because when we are stressed and going through stuff that we're not bringing to God, how are we being an example to others? So I know I'm not the only one that goes through stuff. What brings you stress in your life? What steals your joy? Just shout out some stuff. Family, well, teens, school, younger brothers and sisters, they might say the same about you. That's a good one. Homework. What else? What? Deadlines. Taxes, says the one that doesn't pay taxes. What in the world? Man, this is America. Yes.
My students.
Your students. Yes. Traffic. The one that doesn't drive is complaining about traffic. Bro, help you throw it out. Come on. Yeah, Brian. What? People blame you. That's just repayment for the stuff you did do that didn't get caught. Okay. Who else? What else? What else? What? Mark. Homework. Yeah. I wasn't going to say nothing about that one. Yes. Correction. Woo. I like that. Yes. Parents. Kendall, where are you? Get your boy after class. After church, you need to get him. Yes. What? Your salary? Your salary or lack of? Yes. Death? Oh, debts. Yeah, absolutely. Death could actually fix that, but yeah, debt. I feel you. I feel you. I had a coworker that said, I love debt because when I die, I ain't got to pay it back. Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. The title of my sermon is Joyful on Purpose. Joyful on Purpose. Look over in Colossians 3. Man, if we're going to be joyful on purpose, there's some stuff we got to think about. Because if we don't do something on purpose, by mistake is going to blindside us every time, isn't it? Look over in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear in glory with him. This passage has been really helping me a lot lately. I mean, we had a small little D group for the single men on last Sunday, and it was only a couple guys there, but I shared this verse. And I also shared how I was struggling, how I was going through stress, and I'm not gonna bore you with the details. We all have a story to tell, don't we? But we all got something going on. Well, I wanted to tell them, this is what I got going on. You know, I don't know about you, but when people come and ask me how I'm doing, I want to tell them the truth. That's a pretty good, you know, way to do it, right? So where's Harold McCurdy? He's part here. Harold McCurdy last week said, bro, how you doing? Oh, boy, he found out how I was doing. I had him over here for like 10 minutes. I was like, bro. And he's like, you know, I know we talked about getting together. Why don't I just come over to your house and help you while we get together? And I was like, amen, bro. I like that idea. That's a great idea. But we all have something we're going through, right? Verse 3 says, set your hearts on things above. It says set. It doesn't say, well, let's hope my heart gets there. It says do something intentional to get your heart there. It's kind of interesting that he talks about the heart first and then goes into the mind. First he says set your heart, and then he says what? Set your mind. But I believe he's saying set your heart first, because the heart is the well, what does the Bible say? Is the wellspring of life. It is where the desires come from. So if your heart isn't right, your mind is going to be thinking about things that are not right. I hope that blesses you like it blessed me, because it really helped me in my thinking. Because if my heart isn't right, my thinking will always be skewed. So what I've been doing for the last week and a half, been like, you know what? I need to get my desires in line with God. I need to not worry about the things that are here on earth. It is so easy to walk in your house and be like, ah! Look at your children and go, ah! My wife, when she looks at me, ah! Thank God, she's all together. I'm not so like that, you know what I'm saying? I got issues. You got issues. Don't stare at me like I'm crazy, because you crazy too. We can start an asylum up in this place. But you know what? The Bible says if you're crazy, be crazy for God. So that's what I choose to do. Amen? Set your heart on things above. Are you thinking about heaven? Are you thinking about what God's will is for you in your life? Are you intentionally setting your mind on things above and not worrying about the things that are right here? We give a lot of power to other people in our lives. Well, the last time I checked, we're here. We're not up there. So we're setting our mind, our hearts and minds on things here when we worry about people and what they do to us or don't do to us. When you walk in your house and see that to-do list and you have to unscroll it, I don't know about some people can relate. I got a list, you know what I'm saying? And my list, just things keep on getting added to it. But I have to look at it and remember, you know what? God has a purpose for this. God is allowing me to go through this right now so that he can teach me to be closer to him. Nothing can be set by accident. You know, we need to become joyful on purpose about the life that God has given us here on earth, but more so the life that is to come. If you are not a disciple this morning, you need to find out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have stresses in your life that you can't even begin to describe because you can't without Jesus look above. You can have a semblance of religion, but you don't have a true relationship with God unless you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Heaven is going to be an indescribably incredible place. You know, the book of Revelation tries to paint us a picture, but our minds can't fathom all the awesomeness that's going to be there. That should bring us peace, shouldn't it? Do you know what God looks like? Neither do I. Do you take the time to really reflect and say, man, one day, as long as I keep on fighting the right fight here, I'm going to see my God. I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I need to remember that intentionally, not by mistake. I can't wait to come on Sunday for some guy up here screaming at me to remind me to love God and to remember Jesus. I need to intentionally do that for myself on a daily basis, or I'm going to go crazy. I said, I'm going to go crazy. Because there's enough stressors that attack us on a daily basis that will unsettle us and make us leave God if we don't intentionally stay focused on him. You know, when I think about somebody who had, in our opinion, the right to be stressed is Jesus. All the things that he had going on, all the things that he had constantly attacking him, not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. And I want us to look at him this morning. The first thing I see Jesus did was he remembered God's word. Let's look over in Matthew 3. And if you could read that, God bless you, because I know I couldn't read that. Well, we bring our Bibles to this church, right? Amen. Matthew 3, starting in verse 16. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning and a light on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Okay, let's talk about being stressed. Here it is, Jesus, excuse me, Jesus had just been baptized. What do we do after we just get baptized? We go to IHOP, right? We go to somebody's party and they make us Dominican chili, right, Nadia? We go celebrate. We don't go to the desert. We don't go on a 40-day fast. When's the last time you fasted, let alone 40 days? Man, when we miss our mid-morning snack, we get stressed. Can you imagine how Jesus was feeling? 40 days without food or water. We get stressed when we feel tempted. Like, oh man, God, I can't handle it. That's not what the scriptures say. The Bible says that he will not give you more than you can bear. Imagine if Satan himself were the one stressing you, tempting you, accusing you. If he came to you directly and you were in his focus that much, you think you might have been stressed? I know I would have been. But as we read this text, I don't see Jesus stressed out at all. I see him handling Satan the way we need to, through the word of God. He battles Satan by using the word on every turn. Satan says a lie, he comes back with truth. Satan says something crazy, Jesus doesn't even battle him back and forth. He just says, well, the Bible also says this. How are you handling temptation? How are you handling sin? A lot of times when we in sin, we stressed out because we know we're not right with God. I don't know about you, but when I'm stressed and I got stress and I'm depressed because I know I'm not treating my family right. This past week, I've had to apologize to them several times. Yesterday, I apologized to my children because I was like, man, how am I going to get up there and preach and I know I'm doing wrong? How can I live on a daily basis trying to be close to my God if I'm not close to my family whom I live with? Here we are moving and trying to do what we believe that God's will is for us in our life. And I am messing up the time that we're still here by allowing stress to mess up my relationship with my kids. And you know, when you mess up with your kids, Mama Bear about to take care of you. Mama Bear being my wife. Oh, yo, you can mess with me. She might talk to you a little bit, but you try to mess with her children and you see the claws come out. She gets straight Colombian on you. It's going to be rough. But even with her husband, and she's learned how to do it, but she'll tell me, you know what, you could have handled that better. And I'm like, don't you know I'm stressed, woman? Now, I never call her woman or I wouldn't be standing here. But you get my points. Guys, when we are trying to reach a lost world, we need to be self-evaluating all the time. And when we see something that's going on in our life, whether we get to be up on stage or not, we need to be repenting on a daily basis. Let me tell you something, parents. One of the most powerful things you can ever do for your children is apologize to them. It shows them humility, and it shows them that you actually deeply care about their emotions. Now, don't fake in front it, because they'll smell that too. And they will label you a hypocrite, and they might not come follow Jesus. I don't want that for my children. So sometimes it might take my heart a minute to get there, but I'm going to fight to get it there. Amen? When Satan comes to stress them, we need to remember God's word. We need to be about God's work. Look over in Matthew 8. But I don't want you to read anything. I just want you to look at it. On your own time, take some time and read Matthew 8. It's a very interesting study. For time's sake, obviously, we're not going to read it, but I want to point out that in this one chapter, we see Jesus heals a man with leprosy. He heals a servant of a centurion. And, by the way, also has almost a converting story with the centurion. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals many demon-possessed and ill people. He teaches the people to follow him. Yep, there. He calms a storm, and he restores two demon-possessed men. Okay, now take your to-do lists and compare it with that. You might start feeling a little bit better about yourself. Because I know for me, that's what helped me. I think, man, I'm stressed. I got this to do. I got that to do. It's like, Matthew 8. No, I'm good. I ain't doing nothing. I can add some stuff. You see the difference? Jesus did everything on that list for others. Right now, I'm in the middle of trying to get my house ready for sale and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to do that for the family. Jesus did everything for others. Now, obviously, we all try to do stuff for others, right? We try to study the Bible, people. We're trying to share our faith. We're trying to raise our children in a godly way. We're trying to have a date every once in a while so that our marriage stays tight. By the way, it should be more than every once in a while. Just saying, we haven't been on a date for like, wow, it was like a month and a half or something like that, and we said, we need to repent. So this week we went to Pollo Tropical. There she is. We went on the, somebody, woo, that place is awesome. Anyway, you know they get when you mention it in a sermon. But it's weird for Spanish people to go out for fast food Spanish food. But anyway, that's just a side note. Look at the to-do list that Jesus had and then compare it with your schedule. You know, it helps give me perspective. Do you have people in your life that you can gain perspective from? Man, if you don't, you're lonely. And I'm sorry for you. I have a lot of people in my life, praise Jesus, that I can just one phone call away and say, bro, this is what I'm feeling. And they'll help set me back to reality. You know, there are two things going on, right? There's our feelings, and then there's reality. Sometimes you have to sit down and write out the two. That helps me a lot. When I'm bugging out and my mind is going all over the place, I'll sit down and say, this is what I'm feeling. And I will not stop it. I will not filter it. I'll just go. I don't care what I'm feeling, I'm writing it down. And then I take that same thought and say, okay, what's the truth about this? And I'll start writing that down, and it helps give me perspective. You know, another thing that helps me is to ask for help. Do you ask for help, or are you too, you know, a lot of times we say, well, I don't want to inconvenience people. That's pride. That's pride. People can say no. Hey, bro, can you help me move this? No. I can't. Somebody asked me to do something yesterday, and I texted back. I can't. I have this going on, and I didn't feel guilty. Now, for a second, I did, but then I realized the reality of my life at the moment didn't allow me to do that request. There are boundaries. I will go insane if I do everything everybody expects me to do. Bro, we need to get together today. I can't. Why not? Because I can't. I live by a schedule. I hope you do too. And I'm not going to apologize. Now, are there times when you have to move some stuff? Absolutely. But your emergency does not make my schedule just totally transform. And sometimes we think something's an emergency when it really isn't. Sometimes I had a conversation with a brother, and he was like, man, I was feeling this, that, and the other, and 2 days of prayer, man, I feel great. Sometimes we just need to bring our stuff to God before we bring it up to other people and say, God, help me out with this. That's when we want to be joyful on purpose. Or you could be miserable on mistake. That's not how I want to live. I want to be joyful on purpose. You know, Jesus could have been overwhelmed by all that he had to do, but he allowed his closeness to God as well as being about God's work to ground him. He chose to be joyful on purpose. Lastly, we need to rest in God's sovereignty. Look over in Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, starting in verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me. Let's say it again. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 28 says, come to me. Think about this for a second. Jesus left heaven to come tell us this. Yes, we know that Jesus died for us. Yes, we know he came here to be sacrificed for our sins. But Jesus also came to comfort us and to bring us peace. Jesus came. Can you imagine being one of the people around there hearing in an audible voice? He says, come and get rest in me. Where do you find your rest? That's good. Right now, where do you get your rest? Some people get it in food. Some people get it in many things, actually. But Jesus is saying, come rest in me. Think about who is the one offering that. It says that God has given everything to him. John 1 says that everything was created by him for him. Matthew 28, 18 says that he has all authority. So when he says, come to me and find rest, it's a true statement. We can take that one to the bank. So why are you still going to other things? If we want to truly find joy that will last and be renewed daily, we must rest in God's sovereignty. You are not going to find joy or rest in that guy that keeps on giving you that look. It's not going to be in that girl that keeps on whispering sweet nothings in your ear. It's not going to come from your family. No matter how awesome your wife is, now how awesome your kids are, it's not going to happen at your job. There's no amount of alcohol or drugs or anything else or any sin that you can think of that will bring you true joy. It is only through Jesus. Most of us are in this room now because we tried all the aforementioned things. And we came to a realization, this ain't really working out, is it? Some of you that are here this morning are still dabbling in those arenas. What is it going to take for you to see that it is a pursuit of foolishness and you are just hurting yourself? Not only are you hurting yourself, ask those around you if you're hurting them. That helps me repent quickly. When I find that the air in my house is thick and heavy, and I've realized it's my own sin that's caused it. And we could do one or two things with that, right? We can take it upon ourselves and say, I stink, I'm the worst, boo-hoo, and we get out the gray balloons and start having that pity party. Or we decide to repent. We decide to go back to Jesus. We decide to recommit our hearts and say, help me, God, I am a wretched man. And he's faithful and he does it every time. And then the next thing you know, you see refreshment come in the house. And everyone's happy. And they're smiling and they feel like they can talk to you again. And then when you apologize, they're like, they've quickly forgive. Because they also want joy. I'm talking about what's going on in my house. What's going on in your house? If you say everything's going well, praise God. Let's get together. You can show me how to do that better. But if things aren't going the way that God would want it, go to him and he can give you the joy that you want. How much pain could we avoid for ourselves and everyone around us if we would simply learn this lesson? That nothing will bring us joy and purpose like Jesus Christ. Joyful on purpose. You know, from the scriptures we looked at this morning, we need to remember that and take joy in this, that God is not finished with us yet. That God is patient. He is loving. If you're sitting here right now beating yourself up, being like, man, he don't even know what I'm going through. You think he bad, you should know what I've done. God doesn't care what you've done. He's still willing to accept you. He's still willing for you to come to him, and he'll take care of you. If you want to understand what true joy is, and if you're visiting with us, go ask somebody that brought you. Go ask a disciple. Go ask a true Christian. Say, man, why are you joyful when you got stuff going on? And then they could teach you and tell you about this Jesus whom brings joy and wants us to be joyful on purpose. We need to remember that God's word, we need to be about God's work, and we need to rest in God's sovereignty. If we do these things, we will be joyful on purpose. God bless.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us be here today and allowing us to listen to this message. Please help us remember that no matter how much turmoil and how much stress and how much pain we're in, that God always loves us and he'll allow us to be happy, and he'll allow us to, you know, he'll give us the power to pull ourselves through. I thank you for letting us be here today. And for all our many blessings, I pray this in your son's holy name. Amen.